Welcome back to the Talos of Tech podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Today we have a very special podcast that I'm excited to start because we are, for one, joined again with our co-host Randy. How's it going?
Doing well. Hello. Glad to be back after you fired me.
Absolutely. Any day of the week, I'll fire you, Randy. Any day. But today we're also joined by the legendary team of the captain of Team Apple. Sorry, get it right. Viper, how's it going?
What's up, Drew? The legendary Apple Sheep. How you doing, bro?
Amazing. We got so much Apple Sheep within this podcast now. We've got Viper joining us, and I'm so pumped to talk about all the different stuff we have going on in the tech world right now. You ready?
Woo! And this is going to be a good episode because there's a lot to cover.
There's a lot to cover. We talked a bit in the last podcast about services and minimalism and stuff like that. But in regards to the sit down and audio forms, we haven't really gotten much of our thoughts out on foldables.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure everyone's getting kind of tired of talking about. Viper's shaking his head for the audio listeners out there. Oh, man. But a lot of people don't know. Make sure you subscribe to Viper on YouTube before we get anywhere. That's Viper with three Y's, and he's got two channels, Viper and Viper Live. So make sure you're following him, people. And he's done videos on this. But for those who haven't seen him yet, Viper, what is your take on the foldable situation right now with all these foldables coming out?
It's like I keep saying, man. The foldable phone don't do anything that my iPhone or iPad doesn't already do. They're not bringing anything new to the table. Like, everybody's excited because technology is getting kind of stale. We got the same old rectangular slab of smartphone coming out year after year. So, of course, when any new technology drops, people are getting naturally excited, and rightfully so. But when you look back and you sit back and analyze the foldables and you ask yourself, what are they bringing to the table that's new and exciting? And it's like, we can fold them, okay, but that's it. I guess if you want a phone tablet hybrid, then I guess, but it's not a very good tablet. It's not the best phone. I mean, I know, Drew, you've talked about this a lot too. It's like, they don't really do anything.
That's the hard point for me, is like the feature of it folding is not enough in my mind to be a selling point. Like, lots of things can fold. That's not what makes them good. But if you were able to somehow make a tablet 2-in-1, then I could see the argument being made. But in my mind, these aren't really tablets. You see them unfolded, and they're like, I mean, they're big displays, but ultimately they're these weird square aspect ratios. And simultaneously, like, they're not, both the Galaxy Fold and the Mate X, they're like very tiny tablets for what tablets we know sell today. But they've all heard my thoughts on it. Randy, I haven't heard your thoughts. What's your take?
Okay, so first, the Galaxy Fold, they were so adamant about putting one out there, even though we all knew it was coming. I feel like they were like, just get it out there as quickly as possible. And that was their model.
Right.
That notch makes me vomit.
That corner notch.
How in opened up or folded, that the aspect ratio is off. I guess 2019 has nothing to do with bezels anymore, because holy moly, this thing
huge
is
bezels.
Crazy. And then when they're like, yeah, we're not gonna do a notch on our phones, but foldables.
Like, Randy bringing that fire. Ooh.
It's so bad. Well, I'm just warming up because I'm just talking about. And then days afterwards, we see a worse foldable by functionality. I will acknowledge that maybe aesthetically it looks cool, but these things are plastic. I can't. The design lover in me, who loves everything about the glass and aesthetics and stuff like that, can't get over the fact that plastic. So not only do you have an inferior display, and they're going to charge two iPhones for them, you see the welt of it clearly.
Oh yeah, yeah.
With even the lightest, like, you offset the phone just a little bit like that, and then the tablet or the whatever you want to call it. It's so ugly. And I think Well, I remember talking about it very briefly last week or two, whenever they announced it, and then John mentioned it as well. These things would be great as, like, game consoles, like Nintendo, if they did something like that. Then, whatever. But
maybe
as a phone, as a phone, and what I mean by game, like, literally to play a game and nothing else, it has no business being a phone, because you're holding something that looks like those old 1980, like, and you pull out the antenna.
Right. Big antenna comes out.
When you make a phone call, you get cancer in your ear. The ratio looks like that. And then the tablet is a square. It's worse than the iPad mini. And I've never been a fan of the iPad mini. And this makes me want to buy an iPad mini if that was my choice. It has no business. It just doesn't have a functional business being anything that's considered, you can't comfortably put in your pocket. I'm all for minimalism. This is not how you do minimalism if you're trying to merge the two.
So okay? If I'm hearing you correctly, you are calling these foldable phones foldable toys. That's what I'm hearing.
I'm calling it foldable trash.
Ooh,
yikes!
I don't like it. I don't. If this is a collector's, if this is supposed to be a niche product, I feel like if you would come at me with about $500, I would probably still say no, but I would at least consider it.
He said, give it to me for free. He said he wants it for free, y'all.
I definitely wouldn't pay. Well, no, let me rephrase. I would not drop a grand. I sure as heck will not drop $2,000. I would consider 500, maybe no more than 7.
Hey, DJ Cole, my man Randy Backquist is telling you that you should rename your foldable phone the Samsung Galaxy Fold 3.
That would hurt its sales.
Maybe.
If you wanted to push numbers, free wouldn't be too bad.
No,
but yeah, I think price is the biggest killer of the idea right now. A lot of people, counter arguments for me, were all, this is laying the groundwork. You know, this is settling down for the future. And I'm like, if anything, this is telling everyone what not to do. This is like, okay, for one, you're right, these are the first foldable phones, which is funny because they're all three of them have come out in like the past 4 days. Like, they were instant. Like, they're like, okay, there was no foldable phones on Monday, and then the following Monday, there's now three foldable phones. And all of them, they're going to release. Barely anyone's going to buy them, because ultimately, I think the people who have the money to buy phones that expensive are not stupid enough to buy phones that expensive. If you have that kind of money, if you can drop $2,600 on a phone, that means you must have been smart enough to know what phones are good. So I don't think someone who has like, I could drop $2,600 on my next phone.
That your phones are tailored towards the lifestyle of the rich and famous, not the lifestyle of the rich and stupid.
Maybe if everything Apple Pro asks again really nicely, maybe he'll get to jump on that bandwagon, since he's going to put a SIM in that one too, and then we'll find out. We just go back to when, you know, like you said, a week ago, no folds.
Yeah,
now we got three. Remember when we were hating notches? Now my phone looks like gorgeous.
Okay,
you said
all the others.
Before we move on though, Drew said you said we have three foldable phones. So I'm just curious, which three are you alluding to? I want to know if we're on the same page with this,
or on the same fold with this.
Exactly.
We've got the Galaxy Fold came out first.
Yep.
And then we had the Huawei Mate X.
Uh huh.
Which was more expensive and aesthetically better, but functionally worse. And then the third one was, I think, an Oppo like direct clone.
So you actually forgot the very. So you're not even counting, as I'm not counting either. You're not counting the very first foldable phone, the FlexPi Royale.
No.
Yeah, I'm not counting either.
I'd rather start counting the flip phones as foldable.
Yeah.
Or the DS.
You know what, Randy?
Talk foldable.
I'm like my man Julius and Pulp Fiction. I like my Royale with cheese, not on my phone.
You know, that's one of my favorite movies.
I think you touched on a good point, Viper. I think the main reason people really are quick to defend this and are really quick to excuse it, well, it's first generation, so it's okay to have problems, or don't criticize it because it's revolutionary and it's innovation, is because we're in such a stale smartphone world that any slight change in design and form factor that's not our typical glass rectangle is instant, like, it's an instant sell for people, even if they can't afford it.
Right.
But they don't stop to think part of it.
Yeah, but they don't stop to think about what can the phone actually do that you can't already do with your existing devices.
I think Samsung showcased in the keynote to me like the most pure example of we don't really know what to do with this by just saying three apps at once.
I mean, but can we take a moment just to like recognize how Huawei just knocked Samsung on their head with their Mate X? The Huawei got in them got at their head so badly that the rear display on the Mate X is bigger than the front display on the Samsung Galaxy Fold. How does that even happen? Somebody let me know.
It's called trade secrets.
Oh, man, we're going down that road. Okay.
Or something like that. Wouldn't surprise me. You know, Samsung's based in South Korea. Huawei's based in China. They're kind of close.
I have to ask, because we all share that same blood and passion, what are your thoughts? What are we to do if and when Apple comes to this corner as well?
To the fold?
Or to this fold as well, I should say.
Mm, yeah. Okay, okay.
Thoughts?
What do you think,
Viper? Yeah, what you got? I see you shaking your head.
Dude, don't you. You've been watching too much Front Page Tech, Randy, and I understand why you've been watching too much Front Page Tech, but I'm going to need you to calm down, Randy. Calm down. Man, listen, it's like I said in my video I made about Steve Wozniak getting all in his feelings because Apple's not at the forefront of the foldable phone craze. Listen, man.
Great video, by the way. I agree with your thoughts.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Steve and everybody else in the Apple camp, calm down. Apple doesn't need to enter the foldable phone market. Like I said in my video, the reason why these Samsung, why these Android OEMs are so quick to foldables is because for the last 9 years, they've had no answer for the iPad. Nothing.
Right.
I mean, it got so bad that Google tapped out and didn't continue supporting tablets last year. Like, if that doesn't tell you what you need to know right there, I don't know what will. But because they had nothing that could compete against the iPad, they're like, all right, we're going to stop doing that. We're going to come up with these foldable phones. And maybe then we'll have something that could even touch the iPad. And still, I mean, the foldable phones, I mean, the ultimate end game is for it to be a portable tablet, I think. And I mean, it's just like somebody said, it's like a tablet that supposedly folds into a phone. It's not a phone that folds into a tablet. It's a tablet that folds into a phone. But the execution is off. It's not ready for prime time. And functionally even, it's still not touching what you can do with your iPad. So, no.
So you don't think Apple... Because they have such a successful product with the iPad.
I mean, if Apple does get into the foldable phone game, it won't be for probably at least like another 2 or 3 years. I mean, we know there are patents out there that show Apple have been working on a foldable phone. And even John Proctor last night on Front Page Tech talk about how Apple tried to make the foldable more foldy and all this other stuff. But the technology is nowhere near where it needs to be at yet, or even like remotely like mainstream acceptable yet, where Apple should be considered getting into this.
So you're not even interested if Apple were to drop a new line at all?
Wow. Okay.
No.
I think I'm with you. Yeah. I thought you were going to say Google tapped out with the Pixel Slate.
Oh, dude. My God.
That should show you how uninterested they are in the tablet market.
What did Marquez say? This ain't it, Chief.
Lag City. Yeah, this ain't it, Chief.
This ain't it, Chief.
It was Lag City on that thing.
Man.
Imagining that. But imagining that on a phone.
Since we are on the podcast with the legendary Apple Sheep, what do you think about Apple and a possible foldable phone?
I never say never because I don't try to make the argument that I'm always like right about everything and I'm perfect at predicting things because I've been wrong in the past. So I never try to make that argument. But I think someone, I forget who said it on Twitter, but someone said, a lot of patents are being passed by Apple, yes, right now, but also acknowledge that they're kind of crazy patents for things that you wouldn't normally see in a mainstream like the last one was changing the temperature of the display so that it would flex easier. It's like, what? Yeah. What are you going to put, like, not just things to cool down the inside of the phone, but actually heat it up, too? Like, simultaneously? Like, they're kind of crazy out there patents, which just shows that R&D is messing around. That doesn't mean... guaranteed product, but what someone mentioned on Twitter once that really stuck with me was while a lot of companies are going to try to make a foldable phone, Apple of all companies is likely the one to not do it. If you think of all the design trends that Apple didn't follow through on that I mentioned in my video, like Apple's never made a VR headset when that was like everyone, all tech companies were like, that's the future, we got to invest in VR and AR. And Apple's doing that, but they're known for waiting for stuff, and they haven't released any kind of VR accessory or anything like that. Also, they've never released a MacBook with the touch display apart from the Touch Bar, and they've never released an iPad running macOS. Like, of all companies to say no to a new trend, Apple's usually the one to do it. Maybe they'll find a way to justify the iPhone, iPad, the iPad hybrid device. I think that's a pretty fitting name for it, actually, because it is a fad. iPad. Yeah. But if they were to do it, maybe they could find something right. But ultimately, I don't see it, because I've been getting a lot of Apple products in recent history, and I kind of know when Apple says no to things. And like, even at the last WWDC, you know, they had the big text come down, no, we're not merging iOS and macOS. And not that many companies would be that upfront about choices like that, but Apple usually is. They love saying no to things, and I feel like this is one of those technologies they're gonna say no to. But
their extreme focus and that hyper focus that they do, where they you know, for every yes is like 1,000 no's and all that.
I
would not disagree thinking that they wouldn't pursue it. I think they will take the patent just for, you know, copyright protections and stuff like that, because that's also the name of the game. That if they really having a way to, like, here's how you heat up your phone and here's how you cool it down to make it fold, I would be quick to copyright that just for, like, you know, pretend like this is cool. We might not use it for a tablet or a phone, but we could use that technology for something, the eventual Apple Car or who knows what. Like, you can find a function for that, and it's not going to
some
be
Apple
the
Watch or something.
Yeah, it won't, but not something that would go in your pocket. I think the idea of them doing a foldable anything is not. If I was to see a foldable display, I do not think it would be an iProduct. I think we would at most, or at least I should say, would be like a MacBook or an iMac. Mm.
While we right here, let me give my man Tim Cook a special message, man. If we see an Apple foldable device before I see an iPad iOS or iPad OS, we're going to have problems. I'm coming to the spaceship, Tim Cook. Don't make that move, baby. We better see a dedicated iPad OS long before I ever see an Apple foldable phone. I'm telling you right now, don't do it, Timmy. Don't do it.
Don't do it. Don't listen to him, Tim. Sorry. You got me so pumped.
Better do it, Tim. He's serious. Viper's not messing around.
Don't do it, Timmy. Don't do it.
I will ask as a follow-up, do you guys think... heaven forbid Tim Cook doesn't listen to this podcast and they do make an iPhone iPad hybrid, would they make the best foldable there is?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it'll be any more practical, but yeah.
Well,
like,
what do you mean by
the worst?
I don't know. I don't think if they were to make a hybrid, I don't feel like a foldable would be on the table for discussion, though. My version of a hybrid would. My version of a hybrid is that they would change the iPhone would get bigger, keep the same iPhone ratio though, the aspect ratio. Mm-hmm. It would get bigger, adopt the new iPad Pro form factor, so it's boxier, and it would have iPad Pro functionalities where you can do the split screen, or have we too can have three apps at once open. And you know, I think they would just pull and USB-C as the port. I see it just adopting it. Steve Jobs said, when we came with an iPad, we either had a choice. We either had to downscale macOS to make it weaker or amp up iOS. And he said, like, I'd rather amp up iOS. In this aspect, if there was a hybrid between the two, I would see them downscale iPad hardware a bit but amp up the iOS again to fit some of those iPad Pro features. That's my version of what the hybrid would be. And nothing to do with the foldable.
And following up on that, I think there was a report last week or the week before that Apple was planning on merging macOS and iOS app and iPad app. They were trying to, like, merge them all by like 2020 or something like that. And I was just thinking, if Apple is going to make a foldable device, they need to come up with they may need to come up with a new OS or a way to merge their existing OS and for the foldable UI and things like that, because you got apps that are 1,000 on one screen, and then when you fold it out, it gets bigger. I mean, that's not something that's normally happening within iOS right now, so Apple would have to create a new OS to fit those needs and whatnot. I mean, they already have the framework in place with continuity and things like that, but
Yeah.
They would have to somehow bring that together into a new OS or a hybrid OS to make that foldable device possible. So maybe they are working on their foldable phone.
But here's the thing. I think I truly believe that the reason why the App Store was so successful was because they didn't have to scale these apps for all these different shapes and bends and molds and all that stuff.
Right.
You had just had that. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if they start, you know, getting in funky water like that, you're gonna kind of, I wouldn't say you're gonna alienate the developers, but you would probably like irritate a few of them. Or like, if you're gonna make me keep doing a new code for a new thing, then why won't I just take my business also over to Android as well? And I feel like they I trust that Apple is very in touch with the developer community in regards to the coding and stuff like that, which is why one time, you know, they dedicated a couple of years ago a big portion of a keynote about, you know, their developer kit, and like, this is for you guys.
Sure,
because
sure.
they do invest in that, because those developers is what drive the experience for iOS and all these apps. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I feel like I've been studying Ethan a little bit more about what he's been doing for us. And my takeaway that everyone is so drawn to iOS to bring their business to iOS is for mass scalability, because it's less work on the developer, where I have to code maybe three different line items, which would be iPad, iPhone, and then maybe if I want to make another Mac equivalent, I don't want to do that. So we're just going to do iOS.
Sure.
And they just got to do it twice, maybe three times if they want to bring it down to the 16:9 aspect ratio for iPhone 8 and below. But mm-hmm. all things considering on that, I just feel, in my opinion, that once Apple goes like, all right, and now we're going to do this, and now we're going to, and they start messing more with the aspect ratios, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to code for that. We'll get like what we get with the iPad Pros. We all have iPad Pros. You know how you get some apps that are just really blacked out right there? We'll see some funky...
Amazon, I'm looking at you.
we'll see something
Amazon
like that.
Amazon needs to get their game up. Really? So does Instagram.
No doubt. Yeah. Why the iPad's been around for 9 years and we still don't have a dedicated iPad Instagram app? What the hell is going on with that?
That's the real question.
I need to make a video
If we had an iPad iPhone hybrid, would it run Instagram full screen?
Ooh, really?
Because it's a phone, but it's also a tablet.
No, because if we don't get it on the iPad, we'll just get long rectangle.
But to talk about what Randy was talking about, how Apple may alienate developers, like I just said like a few minutes ago, if they find a way to like merge their app system, then that will make it easier for the developer to just code like one thing. So, like I said, if they do that, I mean, maybe that is the pretense for a foldable device, because then, like Randy said, the developer won't have to work so hard if all the apps are merged into one system anyway.
That's true. Yeah. That could work. I think we're doing foldables. We're beating foldables to death.
Yeah.
Can we change topics?
New topic.
Let's move on.
Yeah, let's
move on. One of the things I was kind of excited about this week that we talked about a little bit is that the Tesla Model 3 got an official price drop. Finally, the 35K, and I wanted to hear your thoughts about this, Viper. What do you think of the Model 3, or Tesla in general?
Oh, man. One day I need to get around to doing a video about this, too, but...
Please do.
You know what? I mean, I am nowhere in the tax bracket to afford a Tesla, or even any new car at this point in time, but I'm excited. Like, I think it's pretty cool that Tesla is finally coming down to the common folk and regular people. Yeah. We got regular people now that can't afford a Tesla. I think somebody on Twitter was saying that now the superchargers are going to be more crowded now, so that kind of sucks for the current Tesla owner. But
yeah.
I mean, it's pretty cool. Now, I know they have to make a few compromises, like the range isn't as far on the $35,000 car, but I mean, if you're not traveling that far, it's not a big deal anyway. And then
that's justified, that range is okay?
Oh yeah, I mean, you gotta find a way to make the car affordable, right? I mean, they gotta cut corners. It's like the iPhone XR. I mean, you can't, if you're gonna keep it at $750, you gotta cut corners. So obviously, with an affordable $35,000 Tesla, you gotta cut a few corners. I mean, it's still an electric vehicle. Even at that $35,000 price point, you still get some of the autopilot features if you pay for a few extra thousand for them. So I mean, it's not that much of a watered down experience, but I like it that they're moving in this direction. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, me too. I think they could lower the PPI on the display on the inside, switch to liquid retina, and make it a lot more affordable. And now it just has one camera on the back instead of two. No. But yeah. I'm definitely excited. It's that much more achievable, and it kind of makes me pumped that I haven't bought a Tesla yet, because it means that I've saved money now, because if I would have bought a Tesla, you know, 2 weeks ago, would have cost this much, but now it costs that much. So
good, man.
Boom. We're saving. Yeah. What do you think, Andy?
Yeah. I think there's some, they, what they just did is they made a model for everybody.
Yeah.
For me personally, it doesn't change for me because I always intended on getting the longer range battery. So,
okay. Gotcha.
I have my spec mm-hmm. bump will always be, I want to get I look at it like how we talked about upgrading our iPhones to never get the base model ever again. That's how I look at it with the battery for Tesla, that I'd rather have it and not need it, because even though I will drive a lot more than most people, just by the nature of my work in and outside of, pretty much everything. I'm always on the move. It's just that's mm-hmm. the design of San Diego for us. If I leave San Diego, which is possible, I would rather be more well equipped to handle the next, geographical challenges of maybe not having a supercharger or having Tesla's blueprint footprint out there. And, I'd rather just be prepared. And it's because of those unknowns that I'd rather not cut and save money that way. But at the same time, for me personally, if I was to relocate, I have every intention of being near a big city. All mm-hmm. that to say that this newer model that they are bringing it down to 35K for mm-hmm. what was it, 220?
220 range.
Dude, you hit the nail on the head with your video and why even Viper, you're saying like, oh, these supercharger stations are going to be packed. For me, who cares, because we can charge at home.
And, yeah, we got the home chargers.
I will charge at home and I will be fine that way. So 220 for me will not be anything. If I was to take that route, like 220, every single day, not an issue. Mm-hmm. It's those travel days where if I want to go up into the mountains while I'm down in San Diego, or go, I don't know, drive up to Chico and hang out with you for a day, I'm gonna need the long range battery.
But, right. While we're on the topic of Tesla, you two are uniquely qualified to talk intimately about Tesla, since you all drove a Tesla last year.
Yeah,
let's talk about that real quick.
Okay, it was incredible. it was fascinating, to say the least. I'm actually pumped because, is it March? Yeah, it's March 2nd. At the end of this month, we're going to be doing a repeat of that.
Oh!
We're going to be driving a Tesla again.
Yep.
And this time we get last time with the Tesla, we had what, 4 hours with it?
Something like that. 4 or 5 hours, something like that.
Four or five hours to drive it. This time we're going to have like...
days.
3 days.
Wow.
3 to 2 days. So we're going to do videos on it. We're going to film it. We're going to do a review and everything. So I'm pumped for that. We don't get to keep it, but.
My body is ready, baby. My body is ready.
Oh, that was a fun experience. I love just how clean the inside of it was, I think, was the most impressive part to me. The minimal design of not having the speedometer and everything, and it's all just on that one central monitor. I think that was just a totally different car experience than I was ever used to. It was amazing.
I just need to interrupt this for all our listening audience to know that right now, as Drew is waxing poetically about Tesla, he happens to be wearing a Tesla shirt right now.
I knew it. Yeah.
I'm wearing my Tesla shirt.
I had to represent, because I don't think Tesla gets enough talk in the tech community. We talk all day about phones and tablets and watches, but I don't think Tesla
gets enough strange, because you would think as tech people we would talk more about Tesla. I mean, there are dedicated Tesla YouTube channels out there, but like you said, in the actual tech community, we really don't talk about it too much.
Yeah, I've debated because I've seen several other YouTubers like make whole second channels just for Tesla. But I ultimately was like, you know what? Like, I enjoy talking about it, but there's typically not enough going on for like consistent content. Like when there is an announcement, I love highlighting it and I love talking about it, but there's huge portions of the year where like nothing's happening. So I don't think there would be enough to warrant a whole separate channel, but I'm just like, I want to just see more Tesla videos from YouTubers. But my question to you guys is, go ahead, Randy.
No, really quickly, what I was going to say was that even if you own a Tesla, I agree with you that I don't think there's going to be enough coverage to sustain its own individual channel unless you want to make it like a niche channel.
There's only so much you
can... Yeah, yeah. So anyway, that's why I just wanted to add it to that.
I just wanted to ask you, Viper, and you, Randy, what color Model 3 would you get?
You already know. You already know, dude.
What? State it to the audio listeners.
All black everything. Come on now.
Boom.
All black everything. Matte black everything, like Marquez said. And how about you, Randy?
That one that we drove last year, the metallic blue or that dark silver, or like is that offset? I don't know. It was like midnight. I forgot the name of it. I like that one. That one caught my eye. I was, for the longest time, I was thinking about the red because it stood out. It does stand out. The blue. Yeah, yeah. The blue's not like a Talos of blue, so to say, where their blue for me was like, ooh, it looks good. It just, it looks kind of, not cheap. It's not the word. Just it.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, but that one that we drove was not what.
Randy, red, Randy, red, really, really, Randy, red.
I thought about red. Yeah.
I mean, you know what red is, right? I mean, you want that pull over by the cop red? You want
wait. Hold on. We need a caveat. We need to do a quick side thing really quickly. About 5 years ago, I worked for Geico for a little bit. I worked in insurance.
Okay.
Wow.
I have to tell you, by law, and this is nationwide, by law, having red does not, it's a lie that the cop does not, you put me on the spot. It's an urban legend, but you can't, that's discriminating. You can't just focus out. You can't pick out red and like, I'm going after the red. Viper, man, come on. Dude, you can't.
I mean, the fact that it's a law is all cute and cuddly, but when we talk about real world scenarios, Randy, back
there. Yeah, I'm saying. It's like, hang on, out on the streets, there is no law.
Your insurance does not go up for having a red vehicle. That is baloney. You do not stand out. What makes you stand out is not the color of the vehicle. It's the noise. If the cop hears, and then they're going to be like, ooh, what's going on? Boop, boop. And they're coming after you.
I don't know, Randy. If a blue car zoomed by me, I'm thinking it's air. If a red car zoomed by me, I'm like, that's a problem. That's a problem, man. I'm just saying, Randy. That's a problem.
Viper speaking truth.
So, but what I was going to say was, they're red. I don't like Tesla's red because it's too bright. I like that that blood red. It looks royalty. If I'm going to drive a luxury vehicle, I want to feel like luxury.
So we went from getting pulled over by the cop red to suck your blood dry red. Okay.
That's it.
Oh, God.
Wow. Wow, Randy.
I love
wow.
your guys' reasoning. I thought this was going to be such a quick, like, oh, I want a gray Tesla. I want a red Tesla. But now it's like, no, here's why you cannot pick that color.
Yeah. No, oh, that one we drove last year, whatever color that was, that metallic.
That was a gray one.
That was a gray one, but it was a dark gray. Yeah. It wasn't the silver. Yeah, that's nice. I like it. I like
that. That is a good look. That is a good look.
What would you get? Yeah, Talos of blue?
I don't know. I would kind of want it to match the other products I have in my ecosystem, I guess. So I'd probably go with a white, but honestly, if I had to save money and go with the standard black, because that is the cheapest one.
Dude, like wait. Time out. Did you just say you will buy a white car? Did you say that out loud? I mean, do you have a car wash in your office or something? Because you'll be using it a lot.
I own a white car now.
You can't. He does. Yeah, he has a white car now.
So it wouldn't be that big a difference. But no, I mean, like, I get why if you live in places where it snows a lot, like, white cars are horrible for that terrain.
Mm-hmm. Or the desert.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I would not want white.
Out here, a black car is kind of a bad way to go because it gets so incredibly hot in Cali that if you have a black car and it gets like 100 degrees outside every day, by the time, well, I guess it's a Tesla, so I could fire up the AC before.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
Don't think like a normal person anymore. Don't be a common thinker
anymore.
You gotta
think with Tesla.
You gotta think with Tesla, yeah.
So did either of you see that little video demonstration Marquez did the other day, where he was sandwiched between the two semi?
Oh yeah, I saw that with the two trucks.
Yep.
I did not. No, I didn't see it. Was that on Twitter? That was,
Yeah.
I think on Twitter, I think probably on Instagram too. But yeah, apparently two semi-parked so close to Tesla that he couldn't even get in there. So he had to use the summon feature. They must have been pranking him, but he had to use the remote control feature to get to back the Tesla out of the spot because he couldn't get in there himself.
Wow. Yeah, they were like parking awkwardly close. It's such a jerk move that people do that.
Would you guys buy the enhanced autopilot? Would you drop that money and go forth with that? $5,000 up front or $7,000, you know, later, but would you do it?
Yeah, me personally, absolutely I would. I have an issue sometimes nodding off behind the wheel, so yeah, I would definitely be doing that.
Whoa. Yeah.
That'd be sweet.
Don't do that.
Just go to sleep. Drive home.
Even though you can't read, you can't do that to get the lot of not off, even if you have an autonomous car, but yeah.
With tinted windows.
They don't see you as easily.
I told you the story once, Drew. I'm sure I did when we got to Tesla. Viper, this is a true story. A couple years ago, Model S was the only one that was out, you know, deployed for the consumer. Yeah. I'm driving up to LA. Okay. I'm in the HOV. Me and my boys gonna go kick it. We're just chilling, driving. Mm-hmm. We're driving up the freeway, and I look over and I see a Tesla driving autopilot. And the dude, 100%, this is before you had to grip the wheel and do, you know, to show that you're cognitive and you're awake. The dude was straight up knocked out sleeping, just out.
Oh my God.
He was asleep. He was. I look over and I go,
oh my
whoa!
God.
And I did not know how common that was that people were doing it, where Tesla had to go like, all right, we're making some change, because people would just do that, like, man, I gotta be at work at one time. And they were just
A new level of trust. Be able to trust the car that much,
or like, that's a new level of tired. Do you know how tired you got to be? You know what, if I die at this point, I'm gonna risk it. I need a few more minutes.
I'll die asleep.
Yeah.
That's the best way to go. You'll wake up to a loud sound.
Yeah. So,
oh God.
Sleeping behind the wheel. That's one of their. That was one of their issues that they were having about what, 3, 4, 5. Whenever the S. Right when they first came out with that feature, it was crazy, because and then of course you know, at the time only people in LA, those executives, were the only ones who afford it, because they could drop $95,000. Jeez. Now look at it. Now us common people can get behind it and dream big. Dream.
Right.
Yeah,
I don't know
if I would
get autopilot at front, because they claim that the full autonomous mode's going to be ready by the end of the year. I don't know if I believe them.
Yeah.
I call BS on that a little bit, because I know that the primary reason they haven't enabled the autopilot is because of laws not being passed yet. And I'm not sure how they can confirm that the laws will be ready before the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And if it means that I can get the car sooner because it fits into my budget easier to not get that autopilot, then yeah, I'm okay with not buying it by default, because I mean, right now my car doesn't even have air conditioning. So I'm fine with any new car as it is. I don't need it to like drive itself for me to be impressed. I would just take a Tesla even without the autopilot. But once that stuff does come out, I think even if I am paying more for it after the fact, it'll probably be easier, because I'll know what I'm getting and I'll know it's here. I'll be like, okay, the feature works. Official autopilot's been announced. Now I'm making that, what do you call it, DLC? Tesla DLC.
I like that.
So me and Randy have talked a few times about this, and Randy has informed me that he's actually buying a Tesla this year. So I'm wondering, Randy, are you going to get the $35,000 Model 3, or are you going to get something else? Which one are you getting?
I will not get the $35,000. I will definitely be getting the higher battery. I've allotted my budget to at least go up to that, around that $50,000. That's where I've been so focused on that since 2 years ago now that I knew that's what it was. I've been very disciplined in trying to, because I'm going to make a down payment. I'm basically going to pay for the enhanced battery up front. That's how I'm justifying in my head. So I'm not going to do that purchase. I like the ability to drive anywhere and not have to worry about it. And I think now is also a good time where you go on their site, you can see where they have all the Tesla like official charging stations in California. And you know, they have a 3-year plan, I think, now where they're going to deploy all of them at and throughout the whole country. So we will actually know nationwide where we can get those chargers when we're doing road trips and stuff like that. But I plan on, my Tesla will be my primary vehicle, so it will also be my road trip vehicle. So I am not going to get the $35,000. As much as I would like to save money, don't get me wrong, I know functionality wise, long term, I'm not leasing it. I'm not treating it like a phone. I'm not going to upgrade in 2 or 3 years. I'm going to hold on to the sucker for a very, very, very long time. At least like 8 years. I can see myself. I will run that thing to the ground because I don't treat cars the way I do like tech, even though it is tech. I don't see it as a good return on my money.
No, his car is a woman. He treats it like a bag.
Yeah, but that's, I am, right. Yes, I still plan on getting it. I think because all the hype of what, you know, oh, they're gonna announce the Model Y and sometime this month, I'm curious. I just want to watch, but I have every intention of getting that mid-range Model 3.
That's right. Yeah. Randy, you go live your best life, buddy. You live your best life.
Viper, have you done like stand up in the past? Because you are a genius of like, You can be loud and hilarious and also be quiet and hilarious simultaneously. Like, you know how to play that microphone perfectly.
Hey man, I'm just having fun, dude.
There you go.
Having fun.
He's You're a great stand-up comedian. He's a former soldier or marine. He gets it all. That energy, man. No, I love
he's
it.
A pilot. He's
a pilot.
No, flown in the Air Force.
I'm not Captain Marvel. But can we talk about, I need to take a moment to talk about Drew's reaction to getting the PewDiePie chair. Because I watched that video and reaction to that chair was anything like I've ever seen in my life. It was hilarious. Yeah.
I love this chair.
So over the moon, man. Like, wow.
Oh, I am. No, I almost never buy merch from like YouTubers. It's just I've never done it growing up, and I've always been very, I don't really, it's not that I don't want to support them. It's just usually I don't buy clothes. Like, I have so much hand-me-downs. And I get so much stuff given to me anyway that I'm just like, oh, I don't need to buy anything. But I was sitting all day on that crappy chair, if you saw it on the vlog.
Yeah.
and my butt was hurting and my back was hurting. And I was just like, man, you know what? Like, we've made a lot of investments around here between phones and tablets and computers and lights and cameras. But I've always just been kind of about chairs. And my chairs have always sucked. So I think 2019's the year I can finally just say, you know what?
Invest in yourself.
I want to get a nice chair.
Invest. There you
go. That's right, Drew. Invest in your back. Put your back into it.
Right. I was going to say invest in my ass, but.
That too. You got to make sure your booty comfortable, man. Hey, you know what they
and
say?
I can say. I'm more comfortable now.
Happy booty, happy life.
Yeah, that's what they say.
That's a new shirt. We got to make that shirt a thing now.
Happy booty, happy life with the chair. That's good.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I can't get a Tesla yet, but this is the next best thing.
It's, but you can definitely get a chair.
I know that's right.
So one thing I wanted to talk about before we reach our end is we supposedly, it's not confirmed, but many, many reports are talking about the end of March event, March 29th, March 25th. Apple's supposedly launching their services, and a lot more analysts are now saying even new AirPods are on the way. And I was curious, Viper, what you thought the next generation AirPods should have in order for them to be like a worthy successor to the last gen.
Okay, so we're talking about AirPods 2. All right, so I've been talking about this for a while now, but I would like to have a volume control, like a touch volume control on the stem of the AirPod.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't know how this is not a thing. Like, having to use your phone or your Apple Watch to change the volume is kind of cumbersome. And it's really very un-Apple-like. I don't know why they haven't integrated volume controls on the actual stem yet. That would be cool. That would be my, like, my number one new feature. Like, that would just be amazing to me. But
Okay.
Than that, I mean, I know there's been talk about like health, biometric features and heart stuff and like, but me and you, Drew, we agree on this. When you buy AirPods, mm-hmm. you buy for audio. You don't buy for health monitoring features. So
no,
I mean, no, I need better sound, better bass. I mean, I don't really care about noise canceling because I don't really go to earbuds for that. I got Sony for that. But
sure.
But yeah, just give me some better sound. Give me some deeper bass. Give me volume controls on the actual AirPod Apple. Can we do that, please?
I agree with you. That would be sweet.
But yeah, like the AirPod, the original AirPod was so perfect, man. There's not too much I would do to like make them better. But oh, maybe mm-hmm. better battery life. But that's about it.
I would want more. Even if it was just a black option, just the option, the optional color change. I would totally switch to those immediately. Yeah.
Immediately. That's right. Immediately.
That's right.
Get it.
I would so switch to that. That way you could look at other people with the first gen AirPods and call them broke pods.
Peasant. Call them there.
You can't afford peasant. The new version.
You plebs.
You peasants.
You peasants can't get the $40 more expensive AirPods. Oh, too.
That meme going around with the Family Guy. You guys think you're so much better than us. New AirPods.
Yes. That would be wonderful.
Honestly, I wouldn't change anything for me. If there was one, then the swiping up and down would work. But mm-hmm. I mean, I do it on my watch so naturally that I just turn the dial to adjust the volume. It's more convenient that my hands are together, that I just kind of go whoop, and then instead of like reaching up. But say in a function where I don't want to look like a weirdo, I'd rather like swipe my ear. That feels less looking like a weirdo, because every now and then, like when people come up to me, hey Randy, da da da, and I have to like, I just do that
right
noise, and then like, oh hey, what's, and then I look weird. Or if I have to go like this and try to turn down mm-hmm. the volume, and people are like, oh look, he's not even interested in me, he's looking at his watch. So maybe the volume at most, but the only thing I care about. Colors. Don't make me go to the pay $350 or whatever it is for that skin company. Colorware pods. Colorware. Yeah. Just give me colors, please.
Give us the colors. That's all we want.
Give it to me now.
Exactly. I'm kind of interested in there's a rumor that said the second gen might have a more matte finish, kind of similar to the Apple Pencil 2, and that could mean they're more grippy.
Yeah.
I'm hoping for that.
Nice. Oh, that's beautiful. All right, break it out, guys. I see you grabbing. Oh, never mind.
Oh, he's grabbing.
I thought we were doing a thing. Never mind, guys.
Wait, what are you doing?
I screwed it up. Stupid.
What are you doing? What are you grabbing over there? you got the Apple Pencil. Yeah, there we go.
We got it.
Nothing. If you have to ask, it's not worth showing.
And needless to say, wireless charging. I think that goes without saying.
I mean, I think that's pretty. I'm pretty on board. I mean, I think we all have that one coming. So I think we're in store for that.
For sure. Absolutely.
So while I'm on here.
One would hope.
And since I know mm-hmm. since I know he listened to the podcast, shout out to Marquez. What's up, dude? MKBHD. I know you're listening.
Hey.
We're waiting for you to get back to our DM so that way we can get on the show.
Randy. We got to get you on here, Marquez. We were just featured in his last video again, too, on his podcast tap. And I was like,
yeah, Marquez, you got to.
You know what I noticed?
What's that?
The listens were lower than the last one.
Yep.
Meaning he's going through them.
Marquez.
Yo, man.
It's time.
Marquez, you got to come on
Team
here, dude.
Crispy.
Calling you out.
One time, Marquez. You got to come back. You got to come on here, man.
You know it's fun. Come on, dude. Buddy. Talking about Teslas.
That's going to be like the outro each time. It's like taunting Marquez a little bit more. All right, Marquez.
Marquez.
Like every title of each podcast is like a different segment to the sentence. It's like, hey Marquez, I know you're there. Like, just keep going.
Yeah, that'd be great. Oh, one man. Good long run-on sentence. I mean, hey Marquez, if you're listening to this, which obviously you are, we would love some more, you know, things that we had the Tesla for 4 hours so far as recording this. We don't have but not even a fraction of a blimp on the radar of just, we're stupid. We don't know these things. You have a Tesla. Come talk to us about it. We could talk about the Pixel if you want to talk about the Pixel. why you keep going back and forth between the 6 Plus and the, we're all about it. You know, we don't, it's phones, dude. We don't care that much. We're not going to shun you for it. They're phones, but the Tesla, come on, man. Come on.
I love that you were thinking of 1 plus 6 and then your brain turned out 6 plus.
Is that what I said?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm indoctrinated.
But hey, that's a better phone because it runs iOS.
Oh. Yeah. Shot fired.
Anyway, to my point.
But okay,
Marcus, reach out to us or Drew. There we go.
Yeah. Last question that I want to run by you all. So a lot of people are to bring it back to the beginning, talking about foldables and how that's innovation and Samsung's really innovating and Apple needs to catch up. Do you think this year that the iPhone 11, 11 Max, 11R, whatever they end up calling it, with all the rumors we're getting from Quo and what changes there may be, do you think it's going to be a decent enough upgrade this year, or is this year going to be like a huge fallback for Apple, as in this is the year they lose people?
No, I think it's going to be a good year hardware-wise. I think this is the year for hardware, even more so because we don't know, but what we don't know is how great iOS 13 is going to be implemented with the redesign and what they're going to make it to have its exclusive, you know, operating functions on the new models this year. I'm in favor of more cameras, so the 11R getting a second lens, you can't take a hit for that. And if they've talked about whoever said that they acknowledge that they don't want to be a premium phone, that they want to keep prices the same, I trust that they're not going to adjust their prices again. And if they do, I know they're not trying to outprice themselves where nobody's going to be able to afford them, because you got the OnePlus you know, competitor, like, oh, look, we're being cheap. And now Samsung's like, ooh, we're going to undercut you with our prices here. So I know they're cognitively aware of pricing. So because pricing is going to be a factor in considering this year, and we're getting at least another lens for the two main models, right? Not the R equivalent, but at least those three. No, only the Plus. Yeah, or the Max, or whatever they call it. Yeah, only the Max. I'm all for that. Hardware, we're going to have a great time with it. We know how great the A chips are, A13, whatever they want to call it. Everything hardware is going to be great. And iOS 13 is going to be amazing, and they're going to tailor it to that. I think this is going to actually be a bigger year than last year. Last year, to me, sucked for Apple, and the stock showed for it. The venting was showing for it because it was an S upgrade cycle, and we all know how those go. This is a year of real... not innovation, but real redesign. So we're going to maybe get an amazing iOS experience plus all the hardware. No, I think this is the year for Apple, personally.
Oh, my poor Randy. Okay. My dear Randy.
Let's do this!
What you got,
Viper? I'm so sorry, Randy. I'm at the be a party crasher, party pooper for you real quick here.
Let's go.
As much as this pains me to say, because I am the captain of Team Apple, but I don't see a big hardware redesign, refresh this year. I don't see it. I mean, we're still maintaining the notch, and the notch is already looking antiquated as it is. I mean, the S10 design by itself just killed the notch. And yeah, but hardware-wise, I don't see any big changes. I mean, yeah, we'll get a third lens, but what will Apple do with it? I mean, that's the big question. But to refer to Randy's point, though, I think where the big change should and need to come from this year is iOS 13. Like, that has to be a home run. Like, we were all expecting such big changes with iOS 12, and then they had to dial it back because of the disaster that was iOS 11. Let's not talk about that too much. But we are expecting big things with iOS 13. I mean, all the stuff that we didn't get with iOS 12, they got to bring it with iOS 13. I mean, me and Drew both have kind of lamented the lack of functionality on the iPad Pro because of how iOS limits them a little bit. I mean, they need to bring no changes for iOS 13. I mean, anything that's happening with these new iPhones this year, I mean, it has to be bolstered and enhanced by iOS 13. I think it all hinges and stems on iOS 13 this year. I don't think it's much about the new iPhone hardware, because you got to remember, like, we know that iPhone hardware sales are dwindling year over year, and Apple knows this, and they're slowly transitioning over to services anyway. And what's the best way to bolster those services? You got to put more into software. So iOS 13 needs to be the focus this year.
Before you give your input, Drew, my quick question for you, Viper, is you say it's antiquated, the notch. Would you rather have our iPhone notch or some janky ass foldable plastic ugly goo?
Really, Randy? Really?
This is the year.
Really, Randy?
This is the year.
Randy, you really want to ask the captain of Team Apple whether he'd have a notch or some god awful unpractical, ain't even fully baked yet foldable phone.
My point is, so many people share that mentality. People are excited because it's new, but being excited and buying it are two different things. People are like, "Ooh, it looks great. Give them a chance."
We talked about this already on the podcast, so you know how I feel. They're not there yet.
But mm-hmm. this, I think you're undermining how great the iPhone 10 just changed the whole lineup, and everybody hates notches, but we love to hate them because they still work. Nobody wants to have them, at least on the Apple side. Everybody else is copying Apple, but Apple never wanted to have the notch in the first place. But it's a practical use for it. We, us three, and our listeners, and a lot of people out there who don't have $200 or $2,300 to drop on a fold, that they rather just, yeah, it's a notch they're used to by now. That means it'll be out for 2 years. We're going on 2 years now that it'll come out. We already accept it for what it is, just the same way we accept no headphone jack. I think that this is going to be a good hardware year, just for the fact that we've already got over the jumping in the cold water in the pool. The shock is over. We know what to expect with the notch. Love it or hate it, it's there, but it works. Now, what we don't know, what I would love to say, and here's the hardware thing that I didn't bring up because I don't know, but I'll say it. If we get an in-display Touch ID, game done. That, yes.
Not happening.
If that, that
not
that,
happening.
I'm just saying if it happens.
Although, to that point, like, though, I think Apple needs to stop playing around and include some form of Touch ID with the Face ID. I don't know why they only have one biometric point of entry. They need multiple. I don't know why this is such a hard thing for Apple to grasp. Can we have multiple biometric points of entry, please?
Maybe cost.
Oh, what? Cause they don't charge us enough already? Really?
No. I'm saying, like, they're trying to keep costs down.
I think we done washed that whole thing, and we done hurricane that bridge. It's over. It's been burned.
I'm definitely not like super pumped about this year's iPhones because there's still the chance that they're ditching 3D Touch, which I'm very upset about, and I like that feature.
We're gonna have to have a funeral for Drew.
Have that 3D Touch funeral. But I don't know. There's a lot of weird things I'm hearing about right now that aren't encouraging to me. Like, I'm hearing about the frosted glass on the Mac rumor that they're going to have the matte finish.
Tell me how you feel.
Can you do that again? I want that on a soundboard. I want to just, like, get you, like, every time something like the fold comes out or something like that. Because... I could already see, like, if you guys watched MKBHD's latest video, when he holds up the Pixel 3, you can see the marks on the back.
Yeah.
Like, you can see it aging noticeably. And this is, I think, like, his third Pixel now, because the first one got all scratched, and then the display screwed up, and it had a big purple line down the middle, and then he had to buy another one, got sent another one. But I'm just like, I don't know. Maybe there's a better way to make that frosted glass so it's more durable. But if they end up going with that, it's going to age poorly, and I don't think it's going to look as good. I'd rather honestly have the glossy back. I don't hate the glossy backs to the glassed iPhones. I think that looks rather good. But if they're going with the matte finish, it's kind of taking it back to aluminum days. And I want Face ID to improve. I think that's probably their reasoning for not pushing Touch ID on the iPhones, is because they want everyone to know, like, how good Face ID is, that they have, like, complete confidence in it, and they're putting all their face, like, this is better, undeniably. And I think if you get Face ID good enough, like, hopefully it's as good as the iPad Pro Face ID is and how it works with all those different orientations. If you add that on the phone, I almost feel like you wouldn't necessarily need the Touch ID, because right now the concept with, like, peak Touch ID, peak fingerprint reader is on the S10. Like, underneath the display on the front, and you can barely rest your finger there, and it unlocks, like, super quickly, the ultrasonic one. And it's a 3D map of that. But if Face ID was so good that you could basically tap anywhere on the screen, obviously it's an iPhone, so it lights up, and it unlocks really quickly, then ultimately you wouldn't need that biometric. You wouldn't need the fingerprint reader, because Face ID would be so good by that point that it would essentially be the same process. Like with the S10, it's put your finger right here, and then it unlocks. With the iPhone, it'll be put your finger anywhere you want to, and it unlocks, because Face ID has gotten that good. So I think there's a lot riding on that Face ID biometric, And I agree with you, Randy. The idea of keeping the prices fixed is really important. And it sounds like that's what they're going to do, is not increase the prices too much, because they've talked about in interviews and stuff that like they're aware of the prices. They're worried about that. They don't want to be an elitist. So keeping the prices the same is a good move right now.
Elitist, that was the word. Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't want to be looking at, they didn't want people to look at them like they're an elitist company. So there's good things that can happen, but I'm definitely worried. But I think we all can agree there's a lot riding on iOS 13.
No, they
for sure.
don't want people to look at them like they're an elitist company. I think there's a little light for that, Paul. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well, at least, I mean, I'm glad we can just say now, well, at least none of the phones are $2,000. In plastic.
This is true. Well, thank God for that, Drew.
We got to count our blessings here. We got to count there we go. Our blessings. At least our screen is made of glass. But yeah, you won't see the crazy unique innovation of foldables, I think, from Apple this year. But I think if they one representation I would make to the iPhones this year is it has to be the iOS 12 of hardware upgrades. It needs to be like fixing a lot of previous complaints this year so that we can have a solid upgrade for people who
put the Face ID from the iPad Pro into the phone where it's any orientation, and you will move inventory this year. That's my vision of how they can make Face ID better. Obviously longer range, any angle, but
I wonder if they have the real estate to do that though.
Maybe.
I don't know.
They might not.
I don't know. I don't know if it's the gap of the sensors, though. You know what I mean? Like, because Drew, when you showed me, just offsetting how far much we offset the iPad is like, oh, it's still unlocked. It's still unlocked. Right. Oh my God, it's still unlocked. Like that was crazy. I don't think that had anything to do with the spacing between the sensors on it. I think it's just the iPad's power. I don't know.
I think Renee Ritchie.
This is the idiot in me coming out of it.
Me and Renee talked about. I was like, "Can you get Face ID sensors from the iPad into something like a phone?" And he said that it has a lot to do with the iPhone Face ID sensors are intentionally pointed downward because they know how people hold their phones, and you don't hold your phone perfectly like parallel to your face with the sensors.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They designed the dot projector and the camera to look down a little bit so that it's kind of shining more towards where most people
look. We're all
doing
that.
We're all holding a phone. Everyone's taking selfies. But, I think if they did what they did with the iPad was, he said, because they knew people were going to use it in more orientations, they made the dot projector on the iPad a lot wider field of view. That way they could measure faces from lots more angles. So I think it is possible. I think given we've had multiple analysts say Face ID 2 or improved Face ID will be on the next iPhone. We can't expect that. I'm hoping, though, that they could at least get it in a smaller notch, which is probably the bigger issue. But even if they can't embed any of these sensors into each other or make them smaller, they could at least take the earpiece, integrate it into the aluminum and top bezel like the S10 did. I'm also jealous of the S10's bilateral charging. I think that's really cool. Like, I want the... I want the ability to charge my AirPods on the back of the phone.
But, true. Before we go.
Yeah.
So it's been a while since you've done your video, but I'm curious to get your updated thoughts on the smart battery case. And I kind of love mine, but I know you weren't too much of a fan. So I'm wondering if you have like any different thoughts or your thoughts are the same.
You know, I haven't. I have switched to the 10R, so I haven't been using. I have been using the max battery case for a while, but when I did use it, it was. No, I guess I kind of still stand by my video, which is it's good. It's not a bad product, but it's not a great product, probably just because I was anticipating a lot bigger improvements.
Right.
But it looked like, as other people were reviewing the battery cases, the Max was the one that got the least biggest boost. Like, compared to the 10R battery case and the 10S battery case. Those percentage-wise could charge up your phone a lot faster. A lot more. You could get a lot more of your charge back, whereas the Max was more like half a charge back. And I was like, for a whole chunky case like that, to only get 50, that kind of sucks. But ultimately, like compared to, I've tested a few more battery cases that have been sent to me, like third-party ones. And now I'm like, okay, yeah, I get it. The smart battery case is pretty great. That software integration, that wireless support, it's good. I guess I just, my hopes were probably too high. So I guess that's mostly my fault. But so you're liking yours, Viper?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because I agree with you. Like, you would think for bigger than the hump is, you would think that it would be able to provide more power. But the way that Apple engineered the case to integrate seamlessly with the iPhone's battery is brilliant. I mean, I can't really find fault.
Yeah.
Now, I kind of wonder, it kind of makes me wonder, though, does Apple intentionally make the batteries on iPhones crap so they can sell these battery cases? Because I'm just curious. Like, come on, really, dude? But yeah, I like the case.
I'm sure it's probably hard to prove and disprove that, obviously, because you could be like, they wanted the phone to be thin, so we had to make the battery that big.
I can see your guys' tinfoil hats floating around in the background.
Yeah, putting on that. I've been really impressed with my 10R batteries, though.
Yeah, you like
but
it?
But I wish.
I hate this battery so much.
On your 10S? Yeah.
Can we switch back?
Yeah. You want your... have you debated getting a 10S battery case, Randy?
I was going to ask you guys, actually, the fact that you said that the worst turnaround for battery is the max, since I only got the 10S, maybe it would give me better bang for my buck for being the smallest device.
Dude, if you have a 10S, the battery case is almost mandatory at this point. Like, man.
I don't disagree. I've been thinking about it.
Go
ahead.
How do I phrase this?
As honestly as possible.
Another jealous thing I have with Androids that I wish iOS could do, and they probably never will because this is too nerdy, but if there was a way you could save battery by turning down the display resolution, I would use it. Like, I think what helps the 10R battery so much is not necessarily that it's just designed a little differently. I think primarily the main reason the 10R's battery is so good is because this display is so much lower resolution than the 10S and 10S Max.
What?
That similar to you know how the Note 9 and the S10s, they ship with the resolution lower by default? I kind of wish we could have that option. Like, I wish we could turn it down for extended battery usage, because ultimately, if you could change your 10S Max display quality to rival that of the 10R, so make it like 326 pixels per inch, but that meant your battery was way better, I'd probably go for it. I would probably turn on that setting, or at least make it like happen when you activate low battery mode in control center. Like, it lowers the display resolution. It's like Androids are already doing it. No one really seems to be complaining that their S10s come at 1080p out of the box, even though they can go higher. I would want that option.
They're not complaining because they don't know.
No one knows it's there.
They don't know.
Right. That's probably a good point. But if anything, yeah, I mean, if they make the batteries weaker to sell the battery case, yeah, I bet someone at Apple thought that'd be a good idea.
I mean, with all the other scandals that we've been encountered over the past couple of years, I wouldn't put anything past these people.
But can we check... Oh, the other thing that bugged me about the battery case was I wish that because it has the smarts and it works with iOS and Apple designs everything about it, I wish you could track your battery throughout the week or throughout the day through the battery settings in the iOS app, and it would work in conjunction with the battery case, because that was one feature I really liked when it came out, was that like you can look back and see your activity and see your battery level throughout the day and the week in the settings. Now you can track all that, but it can't track what your battery case does. Like, it can't track what would be kind of cool is if when you plug in your battery case now in the settings in that toggle, the battery settings goes up to 200%.
That would be cool. Yeah,
and it tracks along with it, and it's like, okay, now you have a 200% charge. It went down to here. Now the battery case is dead. So we go down from 100. Like, why couldn't there be some form of integration? Because when I use the battery case, I would go into my battery settings, and it's just 100 all the way through. Just all the time, it's at 100 because I would barely kill the battery case. So I was like, it could be a little smarter. Maybe that'll come later.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe. Or maybe nobody thought about that. Like, maybe that's not... I don't see that as a common, like... That's a very unique, you know, you're going out of your way to still check the battery after you put the case on. I think a lot of people don't do that, so maybe it's not like...
Yeah, that's probably part of it.
High priority, sort of, so. But that's... Because honestly, I never even thought about it until you said that. And now that you said it, it's like, yeah, why not? That makes so much sense. They should do that.
The data's there, you know? Keep monitoring it. Keep checking.
Yeah, that's great.
Anywho, do we have any closing thoughts, gentlemen, as we reach our end?
This is a very critical year for Apple, I think. I mean, we see that Samsung and Huawei are pushing the innovation with these foldable phones. I mean, even with the Galaxy S10 phones, those are looking kind of amazing. I know, Drew, me and you are going to have one in hand pretty soon here, so we will know up front, up close and personal. But, I mean, between what Samsung and Huawei doing, and, you know, Android's always pushing the envelope with tech, Apple really has to have a big year. Because last year, iOS 12 wasn't really a big major overhaul. Because they were trying to clean up.
It was needed.
Yeah, it was needed, but it wasn't a really big overhaul because they were trying to clean up the iOS 11 disaster. But I don't know if Apple can have another year of them just sitting on the bench. I mean, they really have to push the pace this year because between the iPhone sales dwindling year over year and Android OEMs are just brave and new frontiers, Apple has to bring it. And like I said, it starts for me with iOS 13. I don't know if what they're doing with the iPhone this year is going to be that big of a deal, but they really have to push it with iOS 13.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you. We got a lot to look forward to in June. Hopefully,
yeah. That's the key word, hopefully.
Hopefully. And what do you think, Randy? Any closing thoughts?
Air power is dead. Just like your dreams.
Seriously. Can we please stop talking about air power? Just kill it away. Stop it.
I was like, oh my God. We went through a whole podcast without talking about air power, and then...
Nope. Oh, I had to do it. Air power's
dead.
Here's
a question. Could air power charge the Apple Pencil too?
No.
Probably not.
Why not? You could leave it there on the flat side, and then it would charge...
Because, Drew, it makes too much sense. That's why.
Makes too much. Viper, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for joining us today. It's been a lot of fun.
Yes. Thank you for having me, man. It's been a blast, dude.
Absolutely. And our audio listeners out there, if you're not subscribed to Viper with 3 Y's on YouTube yet, I don't know what you're doing. Check out.
You're making
channel.
A mistake.
Yeah. You're
Fix
making
it.
A mistake.
Big mistake.
Unsubscribe from Talos of Tech. Just subscribe to Viper. That's all you need to focus on. Anywho, thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you all in the next one. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.